I almost did not include this recording as an episode because it does have some repetition. One thing that I see in my story and in my journal entries is really the same events, the same attacks, the same responses of faith, the same type of praying. They just simply repeat over and over again. Hence, I'm able to say to you that the most important principle of Christianity, without a doubt, is perseverance. But I did want to share this because, again, it's a good reminder of the satanic attack and agenda against the will and plans of God in your life and in my life. And the timing of his strikes in my ministry have always been so remarkable to me. Many times, just as great of an evidence as has been the blessings and sovereign timing of the Lord is the timing of Satan. So you're going to hear about an exceptional week of satanic attacks in this recording. You're also going to hear me mention that I have receive a blessing. I expect a blessing in about 2 days. And it turns out that blessing will be the output of finishing a video called When It Looks Like the Lord Has Deceived Us. That video was really a breakthrough for me and some areas of insight that I could share with people in this ministry that were on the edge of maybe wondering, you know, is this crazy stuff that's happening in Michael's life really of God or not? If you haven't had a chance to listen to that message, When It Looks Like God Has Deceived Us, please do so. I remember receiving some emails from people saying how deeply that impacted them when they listened to that. I hope you'll enjoy listening to that recording if you haven't. But also, the most important thing to understand about this recording is I'm kind of sharing some of my thoughts and feelings along the way. A couple of important things to remember is that at this point in time, we're approaching 8 months of nothing else happening to move us forward towards me getting to New Zealand. So the last thing that happens is really on August 2nd, or you could say July 27th, when I wire the money to the Schumacher Cargo Company to send the tiny house off to New Zealand. And there was all this activity. And then things came to a screeching halt and God went totally silent. It looked perhaps sometimes like he had forgotten about us. He had forsaken us, when in fact we know he hasn't. This happens to all of us along the journey. So there's been a lot of quiet, a lot of waiting. And in this recording, we are just 7 days away from the next major blessing happening to me that I'm not aware of. It's going to be a very significant thing that's going to happen 7 days after this recording is made. So you begin to see this remarkable strike of Satan. As you listen to this recording, remember that I have no idea that in 7 days, something really incredible is going to happen. And that will be in the next episode. May God bless you as you listen. It is 8:08 on March 25th, 2022. So we are expecting something to happen 2 days from now on the 27th. And this has been a pretty eventful week. Yesterday and the day before have been really extraordinary days, particularly day before yesterday is the day where we had all these providences. And then, of course, it was the Joshua 1:10 marker day. And then I got the call from that a friend of his who could possibly help be a part of getting me to New Zealand had called him, just like we've been praying. So that was very exciting. Lisa, I've woken up to a text this morning from her after we even prayed about this last night. She's had another bad dream, a very scary dream. Her message to me this morning was really showing that she's really struggling physically and emotionally. She's really struggling. We have been really watching her struggle with, she had the COVID Omicron, and last Friday was her worst day. And then this whole week, she's just gone back and forth, and she describes it as coming in waves. There was issues with her stomach, and then, you know, now she's woken up this morning in the middle of the night with a terrible migraine and a scary dream. So suddenly the dreams are back upon us. At the same time, I'm getting these, you know, 666 warnings yesterday, and yesterday is the day that about an hour after I got the 666 warning, I got a really disturbing email. It just really made me feel sick in my stomach, actually. I've had these over the years, and it's where a person is so convinced that me and them are so alike, and that God is doing the exact same thing in their life or what have you, and that we're supposed to be together. We're supposed to join forces. It's like I've seen people, it's almost like an inroad, like it's always Satan trying to mix. And this is something I see. And so if I were ever warning other ministers, be really careful about partnering with anybody. Just as Tozer says, Satan knows how to unite and conquer. And this person might be very, very sincere. And they sent this just a really, honestly, it was a very creepy email, suggesting that they've figured out some sort of a device for discerning God's will and yes or no, kind of like casting of lots, and saying just some really bizarre things, you know, and things that would make you lead you to believe that they're designed to get you to think, oh, this person's on the same side. Okay, so they agreed about a few things that are pretty interesting points. And so there's a little bit of the truth. It's an attempt to get you to say, well, maybe this is of God, because they're agreeing with me on that. And so there it is again. I told Lisa, I said, Satan is always trying to add. The way he creates a counterfeit is to take the truth and then just add something to it that taints the whole thing. I said, it's like me, you know, making brownies and then putting a little bit of cat poo inside of it. It taints the whole thing. It makes it no longer what it was originally. It's no longer authentic. So I'm just noticing these things. So the first thing that happens is this guy sends this really disturbing email, and he's telling me that we're supposed to be in ministry together, that God has told him that we are to combine our ministries, and I'm to be the face of it, and that God wants me to know some even deeper things about the numbers, and that God has told this person things to come, and God wants me to know about it. It's all this. God has given me something you don't have, and he wants you to know about it. In other words, you're a prophet, Michael, but I'm a bigger prophet. And people don't understand how delusional this type of thinking is. This is like right out of 1 Kings, what is it, chapter 13, where the younger prophet is given a mission, and then the older prophet is sent to intentionally deceive the guy. He says, oh, I'm a prophet of God too, and God told me you should do this and you should do that. And I've seen this over the years. So many times Satan uses this technique. And he'll bring somebody like this who has a few pieces of the puzzle. Like perhaps there was some way that the older prophet verified he was a prophet to the younger prophet. And when I look at this and I see these things, it is remarkable. And then to make matters even more sick, at the end, he says, all I ask is that you consider the words of Gamaliel in the book of Acts before you just shut this down and that you give me a listen. It's this just creepy sense, like somehow or another, I'm supposed to just take your word for it, that you're farther along than I am, that you're the real senior prophet, I'm the junior guy, and oh, but God wants to use my face because maybe I'm cuter. I don't know. How ridiculous is this? If you have more insight than me, if you know more about the numbers than I do, if you know more about what's coming than I do, if you have all these insights into how to get a yes or no answer to God's will every single time, why in the world does God need me? He doesn't need me. You're the prophet. Go do it. Go tell people what you know. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's Satan. I mean, I praise God he gives me wisdom to see these things, but also he warns me. This email came 1 hour after I'm staring right out of 666 while I'm working yesterday on the document. And then another attempt comes. So we're seeing this really assault of Satan. Another attempt comes last night, which is really ironic. 8 o'clock last night, 8:12, I get this email. And I'm not at all speaking down about these people, this person, or whatever, but this is just clearly another distraction. 8:12, I get an email from this lady. I'm not going to even put her name in there, but she said that she runs a podcast for Mike Lindell, called Hope Something. I can't remember what it is. And it's a podcast where it's apparently focused on all good news. And I thought I recognized the name Mike Lindell, but I didn't really. So I typed it in, and sure enough, it's Mike the Pillow Guy. It's the My Pillow Guy who's famous on television and all that stuff. Incidentally, the very guy who I spoke out against in one of my videos, saying that I saw him standing up on Fox News back in 2020, telling people on Fox News that, oh man, this is time for America's revival. There's going to be a revival. And I flat out said, no, there is not. No, there's not. And so I knew that this is a guy who's just spouting off what's coming out of his own imagination. It was not by the Spirit of Christ that he said that. And now they're contacting me, wanting me to be a guest on their podcast with this Mike the Pillow Guy's podcast of hope. Not like he would be on the show or anything, I don't think, but it was just, it's a podcast he's doing, has these people doing for him. And apparently he was a drug addict at one point and, you know, recovered from it. And now he apparently loves Jesus and all that kind of stuff. So, and that's, I think that's great, but the guy is clearly not a prophet. And when you stand on national television and tell people that this is an opportunity for revival, and I say to myself, have you read the Bible? This is not an opportunity for revival. Those days are done. And it's just that frustrated the heck out of me, that a person who's claiming to be a Christian speaks and says that, and somebody might say, well, that sounds really negative. No, that sounds really biblical. The Bible does not say anything about there being any kind of an end time revival. It says things are going to get worse and worse and worse. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most, not just heathens, but Christians will grow cold. So I see this two mega distractions in one day. We want you to come on our podcast. We want you to, and also God has told me we're to combine our ministries, and you're to be the face of it. Absolutely spot on agenda of Satan. I've seen this happen so many times, hence yesterday, all the 951s keep going in spite of opposition. I was thinking about on the way up the mountain today, how God literally has to remind me weekly of certain principles, and how even as a full-time called servant of the Lord, I have a leaky heart and limited capacity to remember things in my brain. And so God is, I'm constantly dependent upon His daily grace to give me the guidance that I need to get me through. And this happens over and over again. And you would think like you would have this repository of, you know, spiritual knowledge that you would just continue to accumulate, and you'd be able to just keep it all ready there on hand and stuff. But it doesn't. You have to be constantly reminded of these things. Like, for example, why does God feel the need to continue to show me the 666 warnings? Because I need them. And not only that, but it shows that He's with me. And He knows that I face heavy amounts of opposition. I told Lisa, I said, sweetheart, I see Satan working in all kinds of ways right now to try to, there is no doubt in my mind, this is the most important thing I'm getting ready to say in this particular recording, is that Satan knows we are near the finish line. We are near the finish line. Yesterday, I go to sit down at Starbucks in my favorite chair. I say, God, please let it be that my space is available. I sit down, and there's a blonde-headed lady who kind of favors Lisa, an attractive blonde-headed lady, as far as I can tell, from where I'm sitting directly across the restaurant, and she is right in my line of view. I never even look at her, but yet I can see her peripheral the whole time I'm working, and I'm going out of my way to not even take notice. You know, your eye wants to be drawn to that attractive person, even if you're not wanting to you know, think inappropriate thoughts or whatever, but your eye is naturally drawn to something that's beautiful, something that stands out, something that's unique, etc. So it might have been that it was a person wearing a donkey outfit, and my eye would have constantly wanted to look and see and notice that. It's part of our human wiring. So I go out of my way to not look, and I'm totally focused and all that, and suddenly she starts to shake her leg. And all I can see in my peripheral vision is this leg shaking all the way back and forth, not just a little tiny, like where you got your foot on the ground bouncing your knee. She's moving her leg back and forth. So now you're trying to focus and you have this lady sitting in your peripheral vision who's shaking her leg back and forth. And I just could feel like Satan mocking me. Like, ah, you think you're going to ignore me? I'm going to kick it up a notch. So I get through that. She stops shaking her leg. Next thing I know, about maybe 2 hours later, this attractive lady comes walking past my peripheral to get her coffee, and she's decked out in this red dress, a mini skirt type red dress that actually quite looks out of place. It looks like she should be, you know, working at, I don't know, some fancy cocktail place or something. And she's got on this red dress, and she's got her makeup all done, and she's probably in her, you know, late 20s, as best I can tell. And she looks right at me. I just look up and she's looking right at me, and she gives me this big old smile. And I almost wanted to go up to her and say to her, you know, I know this is going to seem really bizarre. And I said, and I'm not suggesting I know the motive for why you just gave me that big smile, but I am a married man, and you would be very wise to not look at men that way. I don't know if you've learned the lesson yet or do you even care, but if you look at a man that way, the way you just did, you're saying to me, I can be had. I'm interested. This is one of the things that I get so frustrated at when I see women dressed ways. This lady is clearly dressed trying to accentuate her sexuality and to show how pretty she was. It was not in any way some sort of a very provocative outfit, but it's a red dress and she's got her legs all hanging out. Well, she sits down right in front of me and she's sitting there and it's all just legs. So I'm looking straight down, keeping my eyes focused on my computer. Then she gets up and goes and gets her coffee, which happens to be directly right in front of me. And she has to lean over the counter and she's kind of hanging out there. And then she disappears and then she comes back and I'm going, man, look at this. Satan is always, hence why I've told my son, your dad does not ever go to a Starbucks or out into the world. Very rarely do I go without saying, God, I'm going into the war zone. Protect me, strengthen me. And I was telling Lisa all this yesterday, and I said, sweetheart, I've seen this happen over the years so many times. I said, do you remember the time where I went to hand my coffee or to get my coffee? And the girl behind the countertop hands me my coffee with both hands. And as soon as my hands touch the cup, she reaches around and touches both of my hands with her hands. And I wanted to go up to her and say, do you know how inappropriate that is? You don't touch another guy like that. Especially if you're an attractive woman, you don't do this kind of stuff. And I'm just going, man, these girls, and of course that are godless, they're going to open up the door to absolute train wrecks. And this is the way the godless live. And they don't care anything about the fact that I'm a man of God trying desperately to keep my, you know, focus on doing what the Lord's wanting to do, turn away from all sin, all impureness, all holiness. They don't care anything about that. And neither does Satan. So he tries to constantly. And I told Lisa, I said, it's not that I would give in to these things. God knows I've fought all these years with God's help against these kind of things. And I praise his holy name for keeping me in his grace. I said, but look at what's happening. It's designed to offend me. That's what it's designed to do, because I find these behaviors offensive. And so if you look at what happened yesterday, yesterday is an assault. The night before, so the night I wake up, I have a dream, a very inappropriate dream about P. Where does it come from? I don't think about her. I don't want her in my life anymore. This past week, there's been 3 dreams, 2 of them P. One of them, she's demon possessed. I'm spending the whole dream trying to cast out the devil. The next one is of my ex, who comes to me and repents and wants to get back with me in a dream. And then the night before last, I have this dream, very inappropriate about P again. And so that same night that I have the inappropriate dream about pee is now I go to Starbucks and there's these two women that are used to try to irritate me like this. And then that exact same day, I get these two emails. God has taught. I mean, think about this. This is my life, and it has been like this for the last 12 years since I've been in the ministry. Now, not every day is quite that dramatic, but these kind of things continue to happen. I get these two emails. You know, God told me where to be in ministry, and He wants you to have insights about what's coming. And oh, Mike the Pillow Guy, we'd love to have you as a guest on our podcast. And there's a day and time when I would have, back in the days before I had the Spirit of God really at work and restraining me and keeping me, I would have jumped on something like that. Oh, here's an opportunity to maybe get it out. You know, get this in front of thousands of more people. God would shut it down. But now I know not even, it doesn't fit. And I was explaining to Lisa last night, I said, isn't it interesting that God has not only given my hearers, my followers, a new lens, if they're willing to accept it, of which to view the ministry and God's dealings in my life through the prophetic call that He's placed in my life. I said, but He's given it to me. And I had these 2 days, the day before yesterday, that were just the most peace-filled, heavenly, on earth days I've had in a long time. And I said, sweetheart, I have such gratitude in my life, in my heart, that God has finally answered my prayers. God, what is this? What are we doing? Why is my life looking like this? What does this mean? Why doesn't my life work like other Christians' lives does? What is this? Why all this drama? Why all this power? Why all this satanic attack? And now, when God allowed me to see that He calls me a prophet, and then suddenly when I go back and I filter all the activities in my life through the lens of a prophet, knowing what does it mean to be a prophet? Oh, read about Hosea, read about Jeremiah, read about Isaiah, read about Ezekiel. And suddenly you begin to see, okay, they are not matching up to what it means to be a Christian. If you try to view their life through the lens of Brother Ezekiel, you are going to fail. And you're going to conclude either he's a complete idiot or you're not a Christian. But if you suddenly humble yourself before His office and you say, clearly Brother Ezekiel is a prophet, then suddenly all these bizarre things that God is having him do and God is doing in his life reconcile and harmonize and make sense. And you don't have to feel concerned about it. You don't have to feel threatened by it. You don't have to feel jealous of it. And you don't have to feel disturbed by it. You can go, yeah, this is really weird. I don't get it. But clearly this is how God deals with his prophets. So one thing I was telling Lisa, I said, is if I look back over my life and I see how God never allows me to put ads on YouTube, God has never allowed me to do anything to promote the ministry. God has never allowed me to meet the algorithm of YouTube's needs, making sure that I post frequently. Because all I would have to do to keep, you know, getting a bunch of views and subscribers is post a video at least every week. I already had all the momentum. Nope, God doesn't allow me to do it. I'll go to put something up and He'll say stop. He never allowed me to put my book on Amazon. Look at that. All these years, I could have sold thousands and thousands of more copies of the John 7:17 challenge. Clearly, the book is desirable. It's got 5-star ratings across the board. I could have very easily put it in bookstores. I could have, you know, I could go to a publisher and say, you want this book. Trust me. Let me just show you some reviews. I've never done anything to promote it. It's been selling for 8 years straight. It never fails to sell every single month. I mean, it would be easy to do that. God says, nope, not allowed. He never allows me to partner with anyone. He never allows me to have a board of advisors. He never allowed me to do the billboard that people wanted to put up and spend to advertise. He doesn't allow me to do any of these things. And I used to be so wondering, like, God, why do you allow other people to do these things, but not me? It makes total sense. If you look at my life through the lens of the prophetic call, God does not use anything that resembles worldly stuff to accomplish His purposes in the life of truly any true Christian, but He may allow there to be some instances of it. He allows Christians to drive cars, as an example. He allows Christians to use iPads. He allows Christians to make videos and put them on the internet, but He is incredibly strict. And I started to say, wow, I see the dignity of being in the position of being called a prophet, where you cannot imagine John the Baptist promoting and going on podcast shows to promote the ministry. You cannot imagine. Well, today on the show, we've got John the Baptist. Now, John's not dressed absolutely appropriately for the interview today, but that's okay because this, after all, is a radio interview. Welcome to the show, John. Understand you've been living in the wilderness quite a bit, and we'd like to know, how do those locusts and honey taste? You're not ever going to see John the Baptist being interviewed by a podcast and trying to use, you're not going to ever see him sitting on a stage wearing a five-piece suit, you know, demonstrating his theological knowledge and his doctrinal perfection and his teachings on a stage with a bunch of other fat ministers who are all just about themselves and self-promotion. You are not going to see that with John the Baptist. And most of them are fat heads, not necessarily fat in their bodies, but you're not going to see that. It would be so inappropriate. Welcome to the show today. We've got Ezekiel the prophet coming right out of the Bible. Now, I have to say, Ezekiel, you're looking pretty good for 2,700 years old. What's the secret? No, you're not going to have Ezekiel doing these things. You're not going to have, there's a dignity and integrity. There's a set apartness that I'm seeing it. This is why God has not allowed me to have a bunch of friends. This is why God never allows me to speak at churches. You're not going to have Ezekiel start doing a tour and speaking at churches. It makes perfect sense why God has never allowed me to go speak at a conference. A true prophet is not going to go be speaking at some conference where all these other people are. He may have his own if he's got a prophetic call on his life, if he's got the prophetic gift. But when you look at my life, it's like the difference between a Tozer and a Michael Criswell is substantial. Tozer, no doubt, is considered a prophet, and I believe he is and was a New Covenant, New Testament prophet. For some reason, my life seems to have a lot more of what it would look like to be an Old Covenant prophet. In addition to bringing out, like Jesus said, it's like a man who comes out of the storehouse bringing new treasures and old. It's a bit like that in my ministry, where I'm bringing out the old treasures of the life is my message. My message is my life. God deals with me in these very bizarre ways, making all these illustrations, causing me to be a sign to the people, and using my life in illustrations to incarnate spiritual truth. So if I were to see, and I've already said this, that I believe the number one purpose God had for my life is to incarnate spiritual truths that have been so hard for people to understand sitting in these so-called church buildings. So the testimony is, the people come and say, now I understand what the Bible means when it says this or teaches this. I've had people say that in 30 years of sitting in the church, they learned more from me in a few years than they did in 30 years of sitting in churches. That suddenly they understand the Bible. They understand the Word. They say, now I know what obedience means. Now I know what faith means, because you're not getting it if you're sitting in church listening to these guys behind the pulpit preach it. You're getting part truths, half truths, handicap truths. You're not getting the example, and you're getting a word that's being preached without power. So God raises me up to give me to be an example and to show that His Word is living and active. Hence discovering, you know, the Laura, Persis, Cindy, Lisa, a figurative connection, that these women are signs of the parable of the sower. I mean, how incredible is that? Lisa is clearly a sign of what the enduring, persevering, overcoming bride of Christ will have to look like in the end times. P is clearly a picture of the apostasy in the end times, and how there will be many that will fall away through apostasy. So, you know, first of all, you have the falling away, because isn't it interesting that Lisa and P come in the exact order that Paul said they would? You first have the falling away, then the overcomers are caught up. There must be a great falling away before Jesus Christ comes back. Isn't that unbelievable? I never have thought about that until now, that P falls away first, and then what we have is Lisa, who is the picture of the overcoming bride who perseveres. And then eventually Jesus comes for her, like I'm going to be coming for her. Remarkable, remarkable stuff. More signs. So I just look at this, and then I also wanted to note that the other day there was this video that popped up, and I was taking a break from writing. My brain was kind of drifting, and I saw this video pop up. Are the top 11 or something or whatever, the 11 biggest Christian YouTube ministries legit? And The first guy had like 130,000 subscribers. So I'm like, you know, 30 something thousand subscribers away, I guess, from maybe having been put on that list. And maybe that's one of the reasons why God has held me back. He's never allowed me to grow. I'm stuck at 96,000 subscribers for years now. I mean, that's just incredible. It just stays stuck. That to me is like just such another obvious doing of God. And so it'll go up to 97 and then it cuts back to 96 because people unsubscribe and all that stuff. So I look at this video, and I'm not familiar with a lot of these ministers that were listed. I'd seen like one or two here and there, Mike Winger, and I've seen like one or two of his videos, and then this other guy, Alan Parr or something like that. And I never have taken that guy seriously. I mean, his YouTube channel looks so worldly. It's literally like he's duplicating exactly what all the YouTubers in the world are doing. Like, I watched one video of his yesterday and I said, oh God, he's got it to where his camera keeps zooming in and out and there's this poof sound when it does it. And he's using all these tricks and stuff. And I go, this is not of the Holy Spirit of God. This is not the Holy Spirit of God. And he's talking about, well, when you speak as a Christian minister, you really need to make sure that you are, is this the God? Is this God speaking or is this you speaking? And I'm going, you should take your own medicine. You should listen to what you're saying. And this guy uses these controversial images and these controversial faces. This is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not going to cause a true minister to stand there with their fingers on their mouth and a big gasp going, you know, and this is what you're doing. And this is the world's ways of hooking people in. This is not Jesus Christ's way of doing it. And I've felt the temptations over the years to, oh God, should I do something differently with my thumbnails? Nope. God absolutely doesn't allow it. It's ridiculous. It's the same exact way of the world. That the Spirit of God is not in that. When you start going down that road, you cannot expect the Lord to bless it. Oh, there'll be thousands of people. This guy's got 800,000 some odd subscribers. Isn't that exactly what's going to happen? That all the false Christians, there are millions of them, they're going to love and promote all this content, all this kind of stuff. You start talking about taking up your cross, denying yourself, and literally suffering for Jesus Christ. Watch out. I can't believe I still have 96,000. I don't really. I only probably have 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people that are still watching. That's it. And that's fine by me. That's probably more than John the Baptist had. So that's fine by me. I mean, I know at one point they said 5,000 came out to see Jesus, you know, and it's possible that it was even more than that, including women and children. So, but then look what he did. He blew them out. He would always give them a really hard message and blow out the window shoppers. So I'm seeing all these attacks. And then this morning I wake up and Lisa has had yet another scary dream. She's texted me in the middle of the night. I've just woken up with a migraine and another scary dream. You know, I'm just going, wow, God, wow. And so it's really, to me, it seems exciting that Satan is fighting us tooth and nail. And I also have explained to Lisa, you see how God always allows there to be a strike either before or after the blessings in order to keep us humble. It's that weight that he hangs back on us to keep us from floating off. And it's also rather remarkable that it seems that my brother is really repenting and God is really speaking to his heart about how he has been prideful and saying things to me and standing against, and doubting and stuff, things that God's doing in my life and my prophetic call. And it seems that God is bringing him correction really strong. He seems to say that I'm going to be amazed when he sends me a recording. So I'm really thankful for that. I guess that's all I really wanted to capture for now. I've had a decent time in prayer this morning and nothing major. It's just no heightened sense of God's presence or anything like that. And it just shows you that there are those times where you have to continue to persevere even when you can't feel or sense anything. Even when the prayer feels flat, you still know that God is hearing your prayers and you just keep going by faith, not by feelings. So it's been a beautiful lesson to learn this and walk in this over the years and see it still so consistently play out in our life. Lisa has been melancholy the last 2 days, and last night we had a really good laugh. I mean, we just laughed and cut up, and she was so thankful that I made her laugh. But I started just doing my little silly sweet talk voice with her before I was going to sleep and telling her how motivated I am, you know, by her inspiring disposition that day. And she's just really got me so inspired, and I'm so excited. And she started just cracking up laughing. I mean, she literally had a good laugh, and I just kept going. And I was just like, oh, you know, being totally serious, you know, that I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to sleep now. I'm so excited. You've so forth and so on. And she just, it was hilarious. Bless her heart. She just started to laugh and laugh. And at the end, she's like, thank you so much for making me laugh, baby. And, you know, she just can't lift herself out of it. And I said, it's okay, honey. God will lift you out when he's ready. And I said, honey, I got something for you. So I let her listen to the recording I made called Nice and Down that I had made for her many, many, many months ago. And we got a kick out of it. I said, listen to this and call me right back. And it was just so funny for us both to go back and listen to that little skit that I had made. And I said, I'm so glad I did that. I said, I think I should set a reminder that we should listen to that once a year on the year that I made it. And she goes, yeah, that'd be really funny, you know, because it's just so cute. And so we're just persevering. And today I feel certain that I'm going to finish the work. It's 8:45 right now. I feel pretty certain I'm going to finish this video. I'm very excited about it. Lisa is very excited about it. It's called When It Looks Like God Has Deceived Us. And I think it's going to be such a blessing to other people. And it's also going to really nip in the bud, if you will, any real credible cause for people doubting that God is with me, or any credible reason for calling me a false prophet. There's no doubt about it. God has given me this as a gift. And this morning I heard in Luke where Jesus talks about, do not decide in advance what you will say. At that time, my Father will speak to you. And he says, you'll be given wisdom to speak in such a way that they cannot contradict you. And I thought to myself, I've seen God do that many times, where he'll give me something to say that shuts down an argument and the person can no longer speak. And I've seen this over the years, and it's remarkable. It's kind of like what they said against Stephen, that nobody was able to stand up against his words of wisdom. It doesn't mean that they couldn't kill you, but they cannot reason intelligibly with it. And that's exactly what I'm seeing with, you know, the ministry and God's call in my life. And one other thing that I want to say that I captured last night to Lisa is I feel that God has given me my dignity back. I told her last night in prayer, I just thanked God when we were praying, that God has given me my dignity back with what he did with the heavenly scandal, and then what he's doing by giving me all these prophetic insights and showing that there is a massive biblical precedent for doing the weird, bizarre things he's been doing in my life. It has really given me my dignity back. And I said, you know what, honey, if I never have anything more done in my life than this, I am completely satisfied. And I really feel absolutely true that God has vindicated me 100%. And I said, especially after he gets me to New Zealand, that's just icing on the cake. But I said, this really feels like, and it's 8:48 right now. Isn't that interesting? 8:48 right now, go in peace, your faith has delivered you. And this is the way it feels. It feels like God has really delivered me. And I'm really, really thankful for this, that he has been so kind to vindicate his servant. I don't feel that I need any more vindication. That's what I told her. I said, I feel complete. Like, now that I'm going to be able to put this video out and show people these things that God has shown me, it completely answers my whole story. And Lisa was like, whoa, you know, when she was hearing some of these things, I'm like, yes, you're going to see that it's going to make people that stand against this really look like foolish idiots. And she's like, boy, you're right. And it's God doing it, not me. And it's not my intention to do that. But God clearly wants me to help those who are struggling to believe. And then he wants me to cause the people that are foolish to be, you know, to be as Jeremiah. Man, Jeremiah was calling out for God to kill him. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not asking to kill anybody. I just want you to, you know, shut their mouths or completely discredit them so that their other people don't stumble. So 1217, a truck going by right now. 1217, I just happened to notice that. Genesis 1217. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. 1 Chronicles 12:17. David went out to meet them and said to them, "If you have come to me in peace to help me, I am ready to have you unite with me. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when my hands are free from violence, may the God of our fathers see it and judge you." So anyhow, I'm just really, really thankful for this. This is just an incredible situation and been a wonderful and bizarre and difficult week. And I am so excited that I believe that today will be the day, God willing, I get to finish this video. May it be in the name of Jesus Christ. It's 9 o'clock now. I should get home, get a shower, and I'll be able to get to Starbucks and work a good 4 or 5 hours on it. And most likely get it done. And may the Lord help me and keep my desk available there. That would be wonderful if he keeps my desk available and protects me. And so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.